Good morning. Today's daf in Baba Kama's Kuf Yitas, otherwise known as the final daf of the Masechta. Mazel tov for all those who've been through now 119 of the blot. Lema Kitanai, let's suggest now that the following is a machlokas tanaim. If you remember yesterday, you steal something from somebody, so you have to return it to him. That's basic. That's a pasuk in the Torah. In terms of notification, so do you have to notify him when you return it? Would seem like, of course, you have to notify him when you return it. And if you remember yesterday, I'm not going to go through the four shitas, but there are four shitas: Rav Shmuel, Rav Yochanan, Rav Chista. Four shitas amongst the Amoraim in terms of when exactly do you have to notify. In other words, and we break it down into two categories. Category number one is when he knew he was a victim, and category number two is when he didn't know he was a victim. And so now when I return the item, do I have to notify him, yes or no? The Mishnah was a bit vague about this point, and so the Amoraim opine. Each one of them give their own particular opinion and fit it into the Mishnah. Good, and that's what we did yesterday. Right. So we went through the four opinions of amongst the Amoraim, and then we try to fit it back into the Mishnah, Lema Ketanai. And we're now on the very top of Kuf Yud Ches Amud Beis, suggesting now that this is really a Machlokas Tanai, Magon of Tlem and Aida Vesalam and Akis, Lamakum Shagan of Yachzu, Div Rabbi Shema, Rabbi Kiva Omer, Tzarech Das Balim. Okay, so, in the Braisa, a very clear Machlokas between Tanai and Rabbi Shema, Rabbi Kiva. According to Rabbi Shmuel, just put it back where you stole it from. According to Rabbi Akiva, notification. And so now what the Gemara is suggesting is the following. But before the suggestion, we have to lay down our assumptions. So now, first we're going to assume like Rabbi Yitzchak, people are reaching into their pocket and counting their money at all times. You have constant awareness of how much money you have. So my love, b'sel adas. So now, what we did is we stole a sella. The Ganav stole a sella. And now it's Lada'a, so we have to assume now that the victim knew about it. Why? Because again, he's reaching in his pocket, he's counting his money all the time, and he now knows, wait a second, I had 200, now I have 100, someone stole from me. Now, Uve plukta the Rabbi Shmuel, now over here, this is a case of Das, and it's a machlokus whether notification is required or not. Go back to yesterday's daf, and you'll see that this is exactly the machlokus between Rav and Shmuel. So Rav and Shmuel is just nothing more than a reflection of, it's still a big deal, but it's nothing more than a reflection of the machlokus between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel. That's what we can assert. Good. Now, again, by the way, you know how the Gemara operates. The Gemara does this all the time. The Amoraim would prefer not to be pigeonholed into a position, especially Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Kiva, where we normally follow like Rabbi Kiva, not like Rabbi Yishmael, to be pigeonholed like Rabbi Yishmael. Anyway, the Amoraim would like to steer clear of the Machlokas Tanaim. So lo, the Gemara says, okay, we can push back. The pushback over here is that it could be, don't focus on the money, focus on the sheep. And by sheep, so the victim does not know that he was a victim of theft. And so therefore, this is now falls under the category of Shalolados. And whether or not notification is required or not, that's the machlokes between Rav Yochanan and Rav Chista, as they were arguing over Shalolados. Good. I'm Rav Zmin Mishmei Derava Begona Mirushos Balim Kulei Am Lo Pligi Kedir Rav Chista. Okay. So, when you go ahead and you steal Mirushos Balim from the property, so then everyone holds like Rav Chista. So, in other words, you need Das Balim when you return it. You remember yesterday Rav Chista said that when you stole from him and he didn't know, so when you return it, you must absolutely notify him. And if you recall yesterday, that was a funny shita, but the Gemara immediately explained, Rav explained the shita of Rav Chista, and that is, why do you have to notify him? In other words, you didn't tell you stole from him. Why not just simply put it back and be done with it? So the explanation that we gave yesterday is that because once you show the animal the exit door, so basically you've taught the animal a new trick. In other words, how to escape, how to exit. And so even though you returned it, but you returned it with now this knowledge of, hey, there's a door, I can leave whenever I want. That's why you have to let the owner know, oh, here's what I did. Good. So, v'hacha, b'shomer shaganav. Over here, we're talking about a shomer shaganav. Meirishuso. And so what did he do? So in other words, he had a shomer who was entrusted to watch somebody's item, and now he steals the item. Now, I know it's a little bit funny, by the way. In other words, the item is already in outside of the owner's possession. So how are you stealing it? But the Gemara immediately explains. And what you're going to do now is that you're taking it away from your property, meaning because that's where you are guarding it. And now you're basically putting it in some undisclosed area. Okay, anyway. The point is that there is a way of stealing, even as a shomer. So, and Rabbi Yishmael sever lo kalta lo shmira so. Okay, so now, once you have transitioned from being a shomer to a ganav, so now, when you return it, is your shmira come to conclusion? Your liability, your responsibility come to conclusion? That's the machlokes between Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Kiva, again, according to Rav Zvid, in the name of Rava. Lema minyan poter tanahi. Okay, now, again, yesterday we talked about when you return it, the owner now has been notified that he received the item that it was stolen. Well, if he counts, meaning you didn't tell him, but if he counts his animals and sees that all of his animals are back, that's considered notification. What the Gemara now is suggesting is that's a machlokas tanaim. How do I know that? Detanya. Okay, now, let's say the following. Very interesting scenario over here. You stole from somebody, and you want to do tshuva. You want to return it to him, but you're embarrassed. You're terribly embarrassed. In other words, you're going to go over to him and tell him that you stole, and you know what? Let's not do that. I'll tell you what I'll do, right? Smart idea. And that is I'll buy something from him. I'll buy something from him, and I'll just give him a little bit extra. And good. So now I returned the stolen item, and I was able to save face. Again, we point this out yesterday. That's not the right way to handle a theft. In other words, we learned earlier in the Masecht, in the 7th Perek, when you steal some from somebody, you not only have to return the item, that's step one. Step number two is you have to ask for mechila. Okay, so over here, obviously, we're missing an important part, and that is the asking for mechila. But, okay, the Gemara right now is just zoomed in on whether or not this serves as hashava. So, Savru de Kulam is the Rabbi Yitzchak Damar Adamas and Lamashmash Bekisa Bechosha Vashah. So, my love, Behakim Ifagi, Manda Amar Yatsa Savra Minyan Poter. Umanda Amar Lo Yatsa Savra Minyan and a Poter. And good. And over here now, we'll assume, and you know how these things work, by the way, the Gemara is going to change the assumption, but right now, momentarily, we'll assume that people are counting the money all the time. So, when you gave him the extra money, so now he's going to take the extra money, immediately he's going to count, and he now is going to know. And is that knowledge considered notification? The Gemara says, that's what we're dunning on, that's the machlokas. And the Gemara says, no. Amrei, Israel and Rabbi Yitzchak, Tukulam, Lo, Pligidam, Minyan, Poter. No. If we assume like Rabbi Yitzchak, so then there'd be a minyan, then there'd be an accounting and accounting, and of course you're going to be Poter. And everyone would agree to that. So, Elabed Rabbi Yitzchak, Kemifogimar, Islaid Rabbi Yitzchak, Amar, Leislaid Rabbi Yitzchak. The machlokus over here is whether we even subscribe to Shitas Rabbi Yitzchak. Do people count? Do people not count? And by the way, it's one of those funny machlokus, meaning what is the normative behavior of people? Let's argue and debate. Okay, correct. Ebay Yisayim of the Gemara makes another suggestion. The Kulei Am Uslahu the Rabbi Yitzchak Velo Kasha Had the Manu Ramele Bekisa Had the Manu Ramele Ade. So the truth of the matter is really the Braisa is not presenting a machlokas at all. So the Braisa that says that you were yodse mana uramale bekise. What the Gazan does is the Gazan counts the money, puts it into the wallet of the nigzal. So and since people are now counting the money, so they basically it'll result in immediate notification. The Braisa that says that you were not Yotze, Mani Ramali Ade. So what you did is you put it into the hand of the Nigzal. So not into his kiss. People are counting their kiss. People are not counting the money in their hand. A little bit difficult, but that, the Gemara is proposing that. It's really two different ukimtas. Ibai say, Ma'i divide the Mani Rama Bekise, had the Islay Zuzeachrin Bekise, and had the Islay Zuzeachrin Bekise. And one final suggestion of the Gemara, and that is that, in other words, he may have other monies in his wallet, and so therefore the minyan is going to be confounded by the other monies that he has in his wallet, and therefore that won't serve as a minyan, therefore it won't serve as notification. Okay, Ad Kan. That really takes us to the end of, let's call that yesterday's daf, let's begin with the Mishnah. Ein lochim en aroen, semer chala v'gedim. Okay, now to buy from shepherds, okay? In other words, this next sugya over here, it's really straightforward and really simple, and that is, if you have good reason to suspect that that's stolen property, don't buy it. It's that simple. And so over here, what would be good reason to suspect? So the Mishnah over here is going to give numerous scenarios. Number one, you have a shepherd. So who is he shepherding? Not his own sheep. Okay, so they're owned by somebody else. And he comes over, the shepherd comes over and he says, hey, you want a deal? Okay. So now you know. In other words, your antenna should immediately go up and you should immediately appreciate, oh, it's a little sketchy over here. So the Mishnah over here gives very clear instructions. Don't do it. So so from the shepherd, don't buy tzemer, chalav, gedim, not wool, not milk, not sheep. Right, the guard of a field. The guard comes over to you and says, hey, you want some wood? Once again, your antennas immediately should perk up. a little sketchy. Now, what about wives? Okay, a sensitive topic, but it's okay, we're going to go there. And that is that the wives are now buying and selling perhaps their husband's property illegally. So the Mishnah says that what you're allowed to do is Klei Tzemer Yehuda, Klei Pishon and Galo. So these are not suspicious items. We'll explain when we get to the Gemara. A Galim B'Sharam, and what you could do is from the shepherds. We're back to the shepherds. So from the shepherds, you can go ahead and you can buy a Galim, the calves. In Sharon, again, we're going to explain why that is. V'kulan Sharmu Lahatmin Aser. Now, if at any kind of sale, so the seller says to you, hey, you know what? I'm going to sell to you, but hide it immediately. Once again, by the way, the antenna should go up. Immediately perk up. Why do you want me to hide it immediately? I get it. So in other words, basically, that is a tell. It's an easy tell that we're looking at stolen property over here, and therefore don't buy it. Now, as far as the eggs is concerned, and chickens, so there, you never have to worry about it being stolen. Okay, they're so cheap. These are such cheap products that it's just not worth it for the guy enough to go ahead and to steal. His return on investment is going to be so low, the markup is so low that it's just not worth it. Okay, Tana Rabbanan Lochem and Aron Loizim Velo Gedim Velo Gizim Velo Tlushin Shel Tzemer. Again, please forgive me. I'm going to be reading really quickly over here, just listing off things that you should not be buying from the shepherd. Avalochem Mehem Tefurim Emne Shehin Shelahem. Now, if it's not just raw wool, but it's already stitched clothing, and the shepherd is selling it to you, then you can assume that it belongs to the shepherd. Now, milk, cheese. So now if it's Bamidbar, so then you can buy it from them. But if it's Biyishuv, if it's local, so then you can't buy it from them. Again, you have to go through these Rashis over here. A lot of Rashis in today's daf. Rashi over here gives explanations, suggestions in terms of why it is that these distinctions are true. When it comes to Rashi says, when it comes to buying from the shepherd milk and cheese, and he's out in the midbar. So in other words, he took it so far away, says Rashi, there's an assumption, a given assumption that the owner of the sheep said, keep the milk. In other words, the milk will belong to you. Okay, now, when you're going to the shepherd, you want to make a big purchase, four or five sheep that you're allowed to do, two and below, two or one, so that you're not allowed to do. Again, over here, everything is, you know, common sense, and I mean, it's a Mishnah, and in this case, it's a Braisa, but in other words, when you're making such a big purchase of four or five, there's no way that the owner didn't authorize the sale. No way. You can't. In other words, this shepherd cannot get away by stealing, by selling four and five, and the owner not finding out about it. It must be that he was authorized by the owner to do so. If, on the other hand, he's trying to sell off a sheep, maybe two sheep. So, in other words, what he's trying to do is turn a quick buck. You know, make a small sale like that. And when he returns the sheep back to the owner, he's going to be like, oh, what's it called? One's missing. He won't even notice. Okay. Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Now, Rav Yehuda makes a distinction between the sheep that are quote unquote domesticated. I mean, they're all domesticated, but the sheep that are local and the sheep that are out in the desert. We'll try to wrap our heads around Rav Yehuda in just a moment. And over here, by the way, this it's the rule, and the rule is that when you're buying from the shepherd, if it's something which is conspicuous and the owner for sure knows about it, so that means that the owner obviously approved the sale. If, on the other hand, we're talking about something which is small and indiscreet, so in other words, the indiscreet could be an indiscretion. In other words, he's trying to make a quick buck and sell it to you. So in other words, buy big, but don't buy small. If we could just, you know, turn this into a basic rule. Amar mar, lokim mehem arba v'chamisho narba v'chamish gizan hashi yishlamar arba zavninan chamisha mibaye. So the Gemara now picks apart the brisa as the Gemara always does. And question number one, if I can buy four, so for sure I can buy five. Again, the larger the purchase, the more obvious it is that he is now just simply authorized by the owner to sell. So I could buy four sheep from him. So for sure I could buy five, right? So Amar Rav Chista Arba Mito Chamisha. So the Gemara says, no, let's say he's shepherding five sheep. And now he wants to sell four. 80%. That's such a, in other words, obviously that's only because the owner authorized him to sell. If he's selling anything less than 80%, so he's trying to get away with it. And that's hard, a little bit hard to understand. You're selling off 70% of the flock and the owner's not going to notice? Okay. Igud army amr of chista arba meyedur katan chamish meyedur gadol. Okay. So we're talking about how big a flock it is. And again, it's the same basic idea. It's just that if it's a medium-sized flock, say whatever that means. So you could buy four. In other words, the owner will know. If it's a huge flock, he could sell even as much as five. V'agu fakashi amar arba v'chamish shon arba v'chamish gizan arba v'chamish in aval shol shol. Okay, now, can I buy three sheep from the shepherd? Great question. In other words, the Braisa told me four and five you could do. The Braisa told me one and two you can't do. Where's three? Missing. So, Lokasha, ha, bibraisa, ha, bikhisha. We're talking about whether or not the sheep are really healthy and strong. Or we're talking about whether the sheep are really weak. So if the sheep are really strong, so three of them sold is going to be known. And so therefore you could buy from them because there's no way the owner's not going to know about it. On the other hand, if they're weak sheep, so then no, you can't sell. You can't purchase. Okay, now in the Braisa, so we learned that Tanakhama said that you can make big purchases, not small purchases. And then Rabbi Yehuda makes this distinction about domesticated sheep and sheep out in the desert. Now the Gemara says, "What? Aside from not even understanding his distinction, meaning was he saying a kula or making a chumra?" The Gemara asks exactly that question. Ibai luhu, Rabbi Yehuda, Aresha kai luchumra, Odima, Aseifa kai luchula, Aresha kai luchumra, Da Amar lochem emarba v'chamisha tzon, So ani mili baisos. So over here, you can only purchase from the shepherd these big purchases of four or five. That's only where we are local. But if you're out in the desert, so in other words, the shepherd's out in the desert, so the shepherd's going to feel a little more comfortable over there. I can get away with selling whatever I want. And I don't need authorization. And as far as the owner's concerned, the owner's never going to hear about it. And so maybe what Rav Yehuda is saying is out in the desert, you can't buy anything from the shepherd for fear that's stolen. Alternatively, what Rav Yehuda may be doing is be giving us a kula, which is that if the shepherd here is in town, locally, with his flock, again, it's not his sheep, it's the owner's sheep, but the shepherd is shepherding. So now if we're in town, so you think the shepherd's going to make any kind of sale and the owner's not going to hear about it? Of course the owner's going to hear about it. We're here, we're locally. And so therefore, the shepherd can go ahead and sell even two, even one in town. Maybe that's what Rabbi Yehuda meant. So Tashma Datan Rabbi Yehuda Amar Lochem Baisos Mehem Vein Lochem Mehem Midbaros V'chom Makom Lochem Mehem Arba V'chamisha Tzon. So Mida Amar V'chom Makom Shmamina Asefa Kayu Lekula Shmamina. So in other words, so just from the language of the Braisa over here, it's really clear. In the Braisa, V'chom Makom, every place. Meaning that if he's local, so you can make any purchase you want from him. It's now out in the desert. When the shepherd's out there in the desert, you can only make big purchase from him. That's the shita of Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda is really introducing a kula, that as long as the shepherd's local, you can buy from him whatever you want, even one sheep, even two sheep. V'lomi shomri peros. Okay, now we're moving from the shepherd now to the watcher of the field. Now in the Mishnah, what we learned together is that the watcher of the field, so now if he... You're passing by the field and he taps you on the shoulder and says, hey, you want to buy some wood? You want to buy some fruit? So the answer is no. There's a good chance that they're stolen. Rav Zavin Shabishta Me'arisa. Okay, so immediately we're treated to a story. What Rav did is Rav made a purchase. We're on the very top of Kuf Yotes Amud Aleph. So Rav made a purchase. What he do is he bought wood, vines, from a sharecropper. Okay. So immediately, Amarle Abaye. Now, it's just from the fact that Abaye is interacting, so it would seem that the Gerser shouldn't be Rav, but it should be rather be Rava or Rabba. Either way. Okay. So, sorry, I knew Ben would appreciate that point. Anyway. So the Vahatanan, Velo Misham Repairs, Eitzim Uperos. So in other words, wait one second. How could Rav have done that? You're not allowed to buy wood or fruit from the watchman. In other words, again, tremendous suspicion that it's stolen. So Amalei Hani Mili Bishom Adalei Slebiku Fedare Media Val Aris Slebikave Emam B'Danafshe Kamazabin. So the Gemara says we're going to make the obvious distinction over here between a shomer and an aris. A shomer is a watchman. He doesn't own anything. He doesn't have percentages of anything. Ah, but when it comes to the sharecropper is a partner. Now, he's not exactly a partner. He's not a partner in the land, but still, he gets a percentage of the produce. And over here, it's really easy to argue that what he's selling is his own portion of the percentage. Tanu Rabbanan Shom Repairs Lochem Mehem Keshe Hein Yoshven Omochrin V'Hasalin Lifnehem V'Tortani Lifnehem. Now, Shom Repairs, what you could do is you could buy it from them when they set up shop. It's not an indiscreet sale. In other words, they are like, it's right in the front of the field. I'm going to dramatize over here. With a neon sign. And a billboard. Okay, sorry. And the, and Tortani. Tortani are weights and measures. In other words, it's clear over here that he's selling. And nobody would be that disrespectful. That chutzpahdik. Where they're just going to be setting up shop right in front of the field. And selling something which is stolen. Who does that? Okay. Again, these are obviously over here. We're talking about general assumptions that people can make. The kulan she'amru hatmein aser. Now, here's a good tell. If immediately after the seller he sells it to you, he says, "Oh, do me a favor, hide it." Okay. At that point in time, okay, this is pretty common sense. In other words, now you know. Oh, wait one second. This was probably stolen. Lochem mehem. If he's selling it to you in the front of the garden, okay, again, that is a legitimate sale. If he's telling you, hey, let's go to the back of the garden, let's make the sale right here in the back of the store, not legitimate. Don't do it. Itmar, gazlas meima mutar liknos emenu. I'm sorry, gazlan. Okay. Meima's mutar liknos emenu. When it comes to a gazlan, at what point in time can you go ahead and can you purchase from the gazlan? Okay, a little more context is needed over here, meaning you're never allowed to buy from the Gazlan. So what the Gemara probably is talking about, right? I'm saying this with a high level of confidence, is that the Gazlan's finished Gazlaning. Okay, in other words, he's leaving his life of crime. In other words, but obviously though, in other words, after years and years, I'm dramatizing again, after years and years of Gazlaning, like a lot of what he has is just via theft. But in other words, but he is reformed, he's a new person. And so, at what point in time now going forward can you go ahead and can you buy from him? Rav Amar Ashite, Rav Mishalo Shmuel Amar Afilo Miut Shalo. Okay. So, how much of his stolen product has to be exhausted? Rav says most of it, and Shmuel says, as long as some of it's gone. I have to admit this machlokas is difficult to understand, right? How just in practice, how are you supposed to know how much of his product is theft, how much isn't? That already is strange. And over here, the sheet of Shmuel is also really difficult to understand, just from a conceptual standpoint. You know, most of his product is theft, but he's reformed and he's a new person. And, you know, of his merchandise, some of it's legitimate. Okay. So I'm admitting this is, it's just hard to understand, at least for me. Orale Rav Yehuda Lad the Daile, Kedivra Amar Afilo Mishalom. Okay, and the Gemara Paskins over here like Shmuel. Which, by the way, by Mamonos, we normally pass on like Shmuel. Mamon Masur. Okay. A Rav Huna Rav Yehuda. Okay. The money of a Masur. Go back 2 days ago. Kuf Yud Zayin. We talked about the most there. Somebody who informs on a person to the government. An informant over here, meaning more specifically, more accurately, in other words, lets the government know that person's got money and I'll tell you exactly where it is. So such is a moser. So we learned on two days ago that under certain circumstances, you can kill the moser. Okay? You got to read the Lashon of the Rambam. Right? My Chavrusa read it to me this morning. Okay, the Lashon of the Rambam is unbelievably strong. I'm not going to read it right now, but I encourage you to do it. It's Perichov Lamazik. Chapter 8. We just went over it this morning. Meanwhile, that was 2 days ago. We talked about the Moser in detail, and the Rambam writes, and I quoted this Rambam a couple days ago as well. The Rambam writes, you can only kill the Moser only in the act of Mosering. Once he finished Mosering, so then you can no longer kill him. Such is the position of the Rambam. Anyway, but as far as whether or not he's liable now for that damage, so again, go back to 2 days ago. See Kuf Yud Zayin. Our Gemara's discussion is the following, and that is that let's say he profited from his moser life. So now, Ravun of Rav Yehuda Chadam Ramuta Lav Dabiyad VeChadam Rasa Lav Dabiyad. Can we go ahead and just simply can we just destroy his money and destroy his assets, all that money that he basically grifted from living a life of being a moser? So Mandam Ramuta Lav Dabiyad Lo Yeh Mamanucham Mar Migufo. Now, the argument that you can go ahead and can destroy his wealth and his assets, in other words, if you can kill him, so you can for sure go ahead and just do away with his money, destroy his money. And the Gemara says, and what about the position that you cannot go ahead and just simply destroy his assets? Because what you're also doing is that you're taking money away from potential inheritors. The children may be good. Okay, just because dad was not a good person has not bearing. Okay, in other words, obviously dad's going to be serving as an influence in this child's life, good or bad. But it's very possible that the child will be somebody good, and therefore the pasuk in Mishlei, Eov Yachin Rasha v'tzadik Yilbash. Sometimes the Rasha prepares, and what the tzadik does is the tzadik wears it. And over here, it could very well be that this entire estate, all these assets, can go down to the children, and the child will make good use out of it. Rav Chista Avalei Ha'arisa Dahave Takov Yav Takov Shakil. So now Rav Chista had a sharecropper, and the sharecropper was just miserly, weighing everything and taking. Now, the way I just described it does not sound miserly. It sounds like that's what you're supposed to do. In other words, making sure that everyone gets their fair percentage. Rashi over here gives a pshat, and Rashi says that he took too much for himself. Okay. See Rashi. Anyway, Salke. So what Rav Chista said, my sharecropper is not good. In other words, he's taking too much for himself. Removed him from his position. Kara Anafshe V'tzafal Atzadik Chel Chote. Okay. Not only removed him, by the way, but took his shares. Okay. Because he was... The sharecropper was stealing, and so and Rav Chista felt that was justified. Quoted the pasuk of Mishlei, "Safun l'tzadik, what is hidden for the tzadik, so is the spoils of the sinner." Okay. Kimatik vas chaneif kivta ki yeshel eloka nafsho. Admittedly, not an easy pasuk to read. We're back in Eov, chapter 27. Right, just moments earlier, Yachin Rasha B'Tzadik Yilbash, also Perichav Zayin of Eov. So here we are now, back in Eov. And what is the pasuk talking about? And I can ask that question for so many pesukim in Eov. So Rav Huna Rav Chista. In other words, what's happening over here is that there is a theft that goes on. Betza is, right, it could be described as a bribe, could be a theft. In other words, the illegal money that's received. And what's going to happen is that you're taking somebody's life when you take illegal money. Okay, good. That's the pasuk in Eov. What is that making reference to? Once again, Rav Huna Rav Chista. It's machlokas. Charamar nafsho de nigzal, charamar nafsho ushal gazlan. The life of the nigzal, the life of the gazlan. We're going to explain each position. Mandamar nafsho shal nigzal midichsev kenar chos kol butzei betzas nafsho ba'alav yikach. In other words, the nigzal. In other words, and if you look further in, and now we're moving to Mishlei, but you'll see that when you take money from somebody, you're taking his money, you're taking his life.
Okay.
You steal from somebody, Akash Baruch Hu will take your life. In other words, the loss of life over here is a reference to the Gazlan. Okay. So basically, it's open-ended, and it can go in two directions. That Pasuk and Eiv describing that when you steal, you're taking a life. It could be the victim's life, or it could be your life. Victim's life meaning by taking his money, you're killing him, in a sense. Alternatively, when you're taking somebody's money, even though it's theft, and even though you're not chayiv misa bidei adam, but Hashem's gonna take it up with you. He'll take your life. Idich nami, now again over here, the back and forth, haksiv nefesh ba'alav yikach, my ba'alav dahashta. In other words, as far as the pasuk ba'alav, it could be understood ba'alav as a reference to the Gazlan, because while the money is with him, it's, I'm gonna use the term lightly, loosely, it's his money. It's the Gazlan's money. Now, of course, it's not the Gazlan's money, but while he's holding it in his hand, he thinks it's his money. And as far as the other pasuk is concerned, it could be interpreted that because you took his life by stealing from him, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to deal with you. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, so here we have a ki'ilu. You steal from somebody, it's like you're killing him. The pasuk in Mishlei, which we just quoted, and another pasuk, ve'omer. Ve'omer. Here we go with the third pasuk in Yoel. Right? I did Yoel once. I'm just going to admit it. I should do it more than once, but whatever. A long time ago. So mechamas ben Yehuda she'shafchu dam nakiba artzam ve'omer. Okay, we're not done yet. And that is El Shavu Abeis Adam Emel Asher Hemis Es Hagivonim. Okay, so the idea is very simple, and that is that when you steal from somebody, it's Ki'ilu, you kill them. Okay, taking their money is going to really deflate them.
So indirectly, you kill
them. We're getting there. That's exactly what's coming up. My Va'omer. So, you know, all these psukim that are making essentially the same point. And everyone knows that, obviously, that we're not just citing more and more psukim. We're making new points every time. So the Gemara says, okay, good. What are the new points? Let's go over them. So, v'chitem and nefesh didei. Aval nefesh b'nav v'nosav lo. So, that's what we have, the pasuk b'sar b'nav v'nosav. You're not only killing him, you're also killing his children as well. Simple pshat over here is that you're removing money from the family, and so therefore the children are going to have less. V'chitem ahani mila hechad lo yav dami ava hechad yav dami lo. What if I take from them, but then afterwards I pay them? So then the theft is not ki'ilo like I killed them. No. Tashma. Mechamas b'nei Yehuda asher shafchu dam naki bi'artzam. So the even though you're a Hamas an extortionist. So that means extortion, meaning you do give them money ultimately, still. It's an act of gzela, and it's ki'ilo, you killed them. And v'chitem ani milech dekaavi bi'adam avagram alo tashma alo shobel al beis adamim al asher hemisus agivonem v'chihechem atzina sharag shalos agivonem. Even indirect theft is ki'ilo like you kill them. Gemara over here cites the example of Shaul and the Givonim. Now, Shaul did not touch the Givonim at all, but what Shaul did is he killed the Kohanim of Nov, the city of Nov. Okay, see the Navi for all the details in terms of why he did it. They went ahead and they hit David. Anyway, while David was running away from Shaul, the point over here is that Shaul killed the Kohanim of Nov, and what were the Kohanim doing? The Kohanim were supporting the Givonim. Givonim were the ones who were supplying water and food to the Kohanim, and now basically their source of income has been removed. So effectively, what Shaul did is he took money away from the Givonim, albeit indirectly, and that's exactly the point. In other words, it's ki'ilo shvichas damim. Avalochim and anashim. Now, what can you go ahead and make purchases from women, meaning wives? So, Tanur Rabban lochim and anashim klei temer biyudu klei pishim begala avalo yenu shmanim uslasos. So, we're back in the Mishnah. We're referring back to the Mishnah, and over here, the Brisa gives us very detailed list of what you can go ahead and purchase from the wife. Again, the assumption over here is, when is it stolen property and when is it not stolen property? V'lo min ha'avadim, v'lo min ha'tinokos. Now, evident tinokos, you can't buy anything from them. You have to assume that they are not authorized to sell anything. Abashal Omer Mocheres Isha be'arba v'chamisha dina kedei la'asos kippa l'rosha v'kulon sha'amro lahatmin aser. Small purchases from wives is always acceptable, says Abashal. And but in other words, but if after the sale they say to you, hey, do me a favor, just hide it. Again, by the way, like we said already earlier this morning, antennas shoot up. Like in other words, no, don't buy it. Gabay tzakalochim mehem. Davar muad avol davar meruba. Gabay tzaka. As far as the gabay tzaka, what can they buy from women? So small purchases, but not large purchases. Vehabadidin. Lochem mehem zaysim bemida v'shem bemida. Avalo zaysim bemuad v'shem bemuad. Okay, so we're talking about the olive pressers. Again, they're not owning the oil. They're not owning the olives. They're pressers. They're the workmen. So what can I do? I can make purchases from them. But in other words, if the oil is bottled, again, we have to assume now that once it's one bottled, measured, so at that point in time, they're authorized to sell it. But if they're making a couple of sales that are, the oil's not bottled, they're here, just take a little bit, just give me the money. So at that point in time, again, it's common sense. You should know now that this is probably stolen. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer. I know the Gemara says muad, but muad. Let's work on the girsa. That's what Rashi does over here. Begala alyon. Sorry, let's do that again. Lochim enoshim zaysim b'muad begala alyon. Shepamim madam boshlim koral pesach beis of enosin lishol mocheres. Okay. In gala alyon, the practice is that the husbands allow their wives to sell even small amounts of oil, and you can go ahead. You can make such a purchase. Okay. Ravina ekala be mechuza asur neshed be mechuza ramukame kavle v'shayre. So the women of town went over to Ravina to sell them various chashkas. Kabel minayhu. Ravina accepted it from them. Amalei Rav tuzfala Ravina v'atanya gabit saka mekabel mehem davar mua v'lo davar meruba. Now wait one second. Anytime you're going to be accepting, receiving anything large from the wife, we don't know if they were authorized to sell it, in this particular case, gifted. But we don't know. So Ravina gives a... right. Ravina gives the answer that we're here in Mechuza. People live large in Mechuza. Right? So for here in Mechuza, whatever they gave me, it's considered tchotchkes. It's not a terribly big deal over here in Mechuza. Okay. I have to admit we're doing great. I also have to admit that we have a lot more to go. Okay. But it's at this point in time now, and I'm not going to be shy. It's at this point in time I'm going to be reading so quickly, meaning not because I want to finish, although that's true, but because, as you're going to see, we are now going to get into such detail regarding various practices that may involve theft and therefore don't do it. But the level of detail over here in terms of various artisans, craftsmen, carpenters, smiths, and the practices that are considered perfectly acceptable and allowable, and the practices that may involve theft, the detail over here, it will be clear. It will be evident. I have no idea what I'm talking about. No, but just because I don't know the crafts. So anyway, mochin, sha'akovitz motzei harei elu shalom. So when people are selling... wool. So, and what they're doing is, there's a little bit of lint, whatever, that comes off of it. So they belong to the launder. And the Sorek Motzei Harei Elu Shel Baal HaBayis. Now when you comb, so there's going to be stuff that comes out of the wool that belongs to the Baal HaBayis. Hakovitz Motzei Shel Shechutin Vein Shelo. Up to three strings belong to the launderer. Anything above that belongs to the Baal HaBayis. Again, it's clear. I don't know what I'm talking about, but that's fine. So the ima yashachar al gabe lavan no tell us a call. Now, the if the strings at the end of the beged were black, so now what you could do is you could take all of that, meaning you could, the launder can assume that the owner does not want that. Chayit chayit shayer es hachut kedei litverbo matlishi shalosh al shalosh hare elu shavala bayis. So as far as the stitcher is concerned, the Schneider, right? Did I say it right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Good. So the so what he can do is he can keep a couple strings, but in other words, but once we're talking about a swatch that is 3x3 etzbaos, so that belongs to the balabais. Masha cheresh motzi ben maatzad areilu shalo uvekashil shabalabais. Okay, the carpenter, a little bit of sawdust he can keep, but in other words, if we're talking about big wood chips, that have to go, that has to go back to the owner. Now, if he's working and the property of the balabais, everything belongs to the balabais. Okay. My understanding of the Mishnah, and I hope I'm right, is that what we're describing over here are various craftsmen who are given the material from the owner, working with the material. And again, the idea of the Mishnah, I get. Just the specifics, I don't understand. But the idea is that all the loose ends, you can keep. In other words, there's an assumption that that's mechila. But anything now that's significant, that you have to return back to the owner. Okay, good. That part was easy. Next part, sorry. Tanu Rabbanan. Well, lo chen muk mochen hakopis min nation shalom kofis notos shnei chutin hal yonim vehein shalom. Okay, so the launder could take the top two strings again, as if I knew what that was. Okay, good. Velo yitol, we're on the top of the amud beis. Velo yitol bo yosim mishlosh chovin. But to take three chovin, okay, we're talking about three stitches. Again, I don't know. So that you're not allowed to take. Velo yisrok abegel ishesio ela la arvo. Also, just important instructions now, and that is when combing comb along the vertical, not along the horizontal. Right? We're talking about a weave over here. The weave is made up as a constructed of a shesi and an erev. So shesi is a vertical, erev is a horizontal. Great. At least I know how to define it. I don't know what you understand. Right? And again, see Rashi over here. Rashi understands, by the way, Rashi knows all these crafts. So the so Rashi over here gives the explanation to why comb one way, not the other way. But the idea over here is that it's going to create less loss. And so you have to, as a craftsman, operate in a practice that creates the least amount of loss. That's the larger idea. When you're cutting, so cut along the length but not along the width. Now, if you're evening it out, it's uneven. You're evening it out up until tefach. Amar marshne chutim v'anan tanan shlosha. The discrepancy between the Bryce and the Mishnah. Bryce allows the launder to keep two stitches worth. Mishnah said three. Lokasha, haba limi, haba katini. Depends if we're talking about thick versus thin. Okay, good. Lo yisrok abegel l'shisio l'larkov atani ipcha. We have a brisa that says that no, when combing, comb against the horizontal, not against the vertical. The exact opposite of what we learned in the previous brisa. Lokasha, habiglima, habisarvala. Different types of materials. Please forgive me. I don't understand. Lo yato bo yosem yishosh chovin. Now over here, instructions, and that is that when the don't take more than three needles worth. By Rabbi Yirmiyah Amtui ve'asuchad or Odoma Amtui ve'asuya trei teku. And then the classic question of how to count when you stitch: is it one in out? Is that one or in is one and out is two? Good. Mashiel arkav lo larachba v'atani ipcha lo kasha habeglima ha bihim yonei. Once again, we have a brisa. The brisa says exact opposite: is that when trying to even it out, go along the long side, go on the length, not on the width. Brisa says the exact opposite. The Gemara makes a distinction between different types of materials. Again, I move on. Tan Rabbanin lochim and asorik mochim im neshenu shalom. Now the sorik, the comber, so he can't. In other words, when, as he's coming, there are going to be little tufts of wool that come out of it. Can't keep it. Eino shalom. Okay. And over here, the Braisa tells us that as far as what the Minhag HaMakom is, so that's going to be informing us. If the Minhag HaMakom is that as the comer is allowed to keep the tufts, so then he keeps the tufts. And now, if the tufts are then converted into a pillow or or a beged, so you're a kone using a shinui. Tana Rabbanan, ein lochim migardi. Now, as far as the weaver is concerned, lo irin velo nirin. So don't keep the irin, don't keep the nirin. These are various parts of the weaving process. Velo pun kalin, velo shirai pikrios of alochim ehem beged minumar. Now, what you can do is that you can go to the weaver and you can make a purchase from him if it is minumar. So the so that you can buy from the weaver. How come you can buy from the weaver? So Rashi describes over here, because it is made up of so many disparate colors. It's basically what's that thing called? Patchwork. So in other words, basically what happened was is that over the years the weaver was collecting various pieces of cloth from here and from there, and he made patchwork out of it. Erev ushti tavoi va'arig. Okay, and if it was constructed together, you can buy it from him. Ami hashta tavoi shakli arig mi baye. If it's stitched, you can buy it from him. If it's woven, of course you can. So my arig tichi. So the arig over here being described as tichi. Again, see Rashi for a description of what that is. Tan rabbanin lochim and atzav lo osos v'lo dugmaos v'lo tlushu shel tzemer. The dyer. D-Y-E-R, the dyer. So what can I buy from the dyer? So don't buy from him little bits of wool, dyed wool. In other words, the suspicion is he stole it and you're buying stolen product. If it's, however, not just little pieces, but in other words, they're whole pieces, articles of clothing that you can buy from him. In other words, again, the idea over here is that if it's a legitimate sale done in the front, and there, in other words, he was authorized to sell it. Hashatavishako begadim ibaye. So my begadim namte. Okay. Begadim over here is namte. Rashi always describes it some sort of felt, whatever. Hides that you give to the tanner. So what the tanner is going to do is the tanner is going to trim off the edges. Tanner can keep it. But if it's tlushin, but if we're talking about significant pieces, so that belongs to the Baal Habayis. So in other words, when you're running it underwater and little pieces are coming up, hare elu shalo, the worker can keep that. Im haya shachor. The black stitching you can keep for yourself. Amar Rav Yehuda Katsara Shmei or Katsara Shakolei. So in other words, when you give your clothing to a launderer, it's called the Katsara. The Gemara makes this point a couple times throughout Shas, and that is that, you know why the launderer is called the Katsara? I know what I'm going to say is funny, but it's true. And the Gemara acknowledges it. In other words, because whenever you give the launderer clothing, what he's going to do, he's going to shrink the clothing. Okay, he's a Kotser. Amar Rav Yehuda Kol Olam Laminyan Tcheles. So the Yitzchak Bari Kapit Alayhu. If the wool is dyed blue, so there is going to be more makbid on that. Hachayish Shayir Sachod V'Kamalit For Amar Ravasi Mlo Machat V'Chutz Machat. Okay, how much stitching? In other words, if there are like little threads sticking out, how much of that little thread sticking out now can the tailor not keep for himself, but has to leave it there for the Baal Habayis? So a needle and more. Ibailu, malamachat v'chut lamachat, kamalamachat odema malamachat v'chutz lamachat mashehu. What do we mean by that? So tashma detanya achay shashari zachut pachum michte litfor bo, umanli shibchuzam ishal shashosh bezman shal Baal Habayis makbid alein harei elu shol. Baal Habayis ena Baal Habayis makbid alein harei elu shalom. So over here, we just quoted a brisa, and the Gemara now is going to be medayik in the brisa. Iyamar b'shalma malamachat v'chutzamachat kamalamachat pachum mikan havei chazil esichta. In other words, we're talking about a needle's length and then another needle's length. Anything less than that is still usable. But ela iyamar malamachat v'chutzamachat mashehu pachus mikan lamai chazei. But if we're already starting with only a needle's worth and just a little bit more, what anything less than that would be good for what exactly? So So the amount that you must give back has to be a needle's worth 2x. That's how much you have to give back. Anything less than that you can keep for yourself. Masha charash up to the carpenter. v'hanifsak b'magare hari lo shabala bayis. So over here, don't care. I'm almost done. Okay, so the carpenter now in our Mishnah said can keep sawdust but has to return back big chunks of wood. Over here in the Braisa, so everything goes back to the owner. Hayot mitachas makdeach or mitachas rehidni v'anigra b'magare hari lo shalom. When you're working with like a plane, so that you're allowed to keep. Amarava Basar the Tani Didani Katarti Khatine, La Rabasi Karale Kasho, Uluzutrasi Karale Matsad, Basar the Tanabura, Kharu Diikava Karale Matsad. Okay, so the confusion between the Mishnah and the Braisa is predicated on the fact that tools are called different in different locations. Okay, let's leave it at that. Im Haya Usel Itzel. Tenarabanim misate avanim ein bem mishum gezel mepaske lanos mepaske gefanim umenach sheizerayim vaudre yirakos is mancha balabais makpid alem yesh bem mishum gezel ein balabais makpid alem arein shalom. The stone cutter can keep off all the pieces of stone that he cut off. As far as your pruners are concerned, it depends. The owner's makpid, give it to the owner. Owner's not makpid, you get to keep it. Amar Rebbe Yehuda kishos. Okay, hops. So v'chaziz ein b'hem mishum gezel. So the people are not makbid about them. So in other words, if there's whatever residual there is, you can keep. Ba'asra dekapta yesh b'hem mishum gezel. If, however, you're living in a community where hops are precious, so then you have to return whatever residual is there. Amar Ravina mas mechasya asra dekapta hu. Mas mechasya, people are makbid in mas mechasya, and therefore, yeah, they're cheap. And therefore, you have to the hops worker, the brewer, has to return whatever residual hops there are. Hadron lachagos abasos, sleek alan, maseches babakama, mazel tov everyone for the conclusion.